Morning. It's good to be with you all. Amidst unexpected morning with Eric, our preacher, homesick, the Lord is sovereign over all of these things, and we trust him with this. It's interesting, some churches in their bulletins highlight that it's the portion of the service where the sermon is literally the ministry of the word. So this morning we have that emphasis coming out even more. We're going to sit under the word being read. And we're reading from Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 15. So I'd invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn there and I will read for us. Spencer mentioned that these are texts that are certainly applicable to the nomination of leaders in Christ's church. And here we have key episodes in the narrative that Luke gives us on the beginnings of the leadership structure that God brings about in his church, in the church of Jesus Christ. So let me read, but before I do so, let me pray for our time as we hear from God's word. And after I read the word, by the way, we will continue to say, I will say, this is the word of the Lord, and you say, thanks be to God. So let me pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. It's truly amazing to consider that you have revealed yourself through words that have written down, men that you inspired through your Holy Spirit to reveal all of what we are to know about who you are. Lord, we praise you for this. We praise you because of your word and through your word. I pray for you to guide us this morning, guide the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. Your word tells us that your word pierces between joints and marrows and discerns the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Lord, I ask for you to do this morning as we sit under the reading of your word. I pray for you to teach us, to correct us, to rebuke us, and to train us, all for righteousness' sake, through your word, Lord. And I pray for you to form us through the power of your Holy Spirit as your body here at Covenant Presbyterian Church, Lord. I pray for you to form us into the likeness of Jesus. We need your word. Father, speak to us now. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is Acts 6, and I'll read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll turn over to Acts 15. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to the ministry, to prayer, and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 15, and I'll read almost the whole chapter, verses 1 through 35. This is known as the Jerusalem Council. "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by the mouth of the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Saul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they had finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take them a people for his own name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name as well, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter: "The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instruction, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements: that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell." So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So both of these texts provide important examples of the leadership structure that God brought about in the early church by the Holy Spirit's leading as he directed the disciples and the apostles. And so that is why we read through those this morning. I wanted to offer a few comments, and then I'll explain our process for nominating elders and deacons briefly, and we will invite a couple elders up to pray over this process, and then we'll continue in our service. One of the main comments that comes out as I was reflecting on these passages is that it's amazing to see God's work through these distinct roles that he sets apart. In Acts 6, we see the apostles, the disciples, setting apart deacons for the work of ministry through deed, right? So they can focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. In Acts 15, we see Paul and Barnabas come to Jerusalem, and there being the apostles and the elders there, and they all work together to tackle this difficult theological and pastoral question that the early church was facing. So we see an example of elders duking it out about something very important for the sake of the church. And the main idea I have in all of this is that God works through these distinct roles so that the word of God increases and multiplies, and that more and more people are transformed by the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the main idea. So in this, we see the primacy of two things. One, of the word of God, and two, of the Holy Spirit's work, right? The Holy Spirit is working through all of this, and it's leading to more and more people proclaiming the word, to coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to see that God works through the people that he has put in places that he's put in. It's part of how he's structured his church for the sake of the kingdom's growth. So that's my comment, and I'll invite two of our elders. I think we have Tom and Austin. We're going to come up and spend some time in prayer, because as I've just said, this is a process that is built on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking for the Lord to raise up men who are of the Lord's heart, who are led by his Holy Spirit, who show those characteristics. Let me run through the nomination process briefly. We'll start nominations next Sunday, and they'll run through June 5th. So they'll be for 3 weeks, and we'll have nomination forms in the narthex, and they explain the whole process. And we ask you to ask the man or men that you're going to nominate if they're willing to stand for office. And then you both need to sign and print your name on the form so we know who's being nominated. Men who are nominated will then have a brief questionnaire that's simply a screening measure to confirm that there's nothing they think would keep them from standing for office, and also that the elders would think what might keep them from standing for office. The elders aren't choosing the nominees. The congregation will at the meeting in next February. But this is the beginning part of the process, just for us to make sure everyone who's nominated is ready to stand for office. And then we'll have a 9-month probationary period where these men serve in their roles until next February. So that's the process, and I think we're going to have Tom pray, and Austin will join us as well. We'll go to the Lord and lift up this process, and in turn, this church here, and the Lord's work in this region for his kingdom, for his gospel.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, there are many things that inspire us in your word. One of them is to read the words of your servant David, among which are his proclamation in Psalm 63, where he says that your love is better than life. And that encourages us, and it also challenges us. I know, at least for me personally, many times there are distractions and and other reasons that just does not seem like the heart of what's driving me, and I pray that you would help us to be clear in our devotion to you, clear in our commitment to you. And you have established your church here at CPC. You have called us to be a light in the darkness. You've asked us to be salt. All of us are included in that call, and all of us are intended by you to be part of the mission that you have entrusted to us. You don't need us. You could do your work without us, but somehow that's the way that you have chosen to accomplish your will. And so I pray that you would enable us to be faithful to the calling that you've given us. Help us to be quick to hear and to answer your call, and to be ready to proclaim your truth and your gospel. And Father, we are challenged also when we read the call that you have in the Old Testament for us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before you. And there are many times that this is challenging for us. Justice, along with kindness and humility, sometimes we find it beyond our ability to practice all three of those things. We ask that you would help us. Help us to seek after truth and justice, but to do it with kindness and recognizing our own weaknesses and failures, to do it with humility as well. Father, looking forward, we long to be a church where clearly we are focused on serving you, on your goodness, your love, and worship, and that because of the way we demonstrate love to one another, we are a clear symbol to our community that you are at work in us and through us. We ask that those around us would see that love that you have given us for each other and for others, and for that to be a force of being able to draw people and attracting people to your gospel and to your truth. We ask that you would allow us to function as a healthy body as you have called us to, that we would all serve our roles with joy and humility, and that we would be focused on ways to build each other up, to keep each other accountable, but to support each other and to love each other and to serve each other through you. Thank you for this church, for the tasks that you give us, for those that you have called to be part of the church, and we ask that you bless both the leaders and each one of us as we seek to serve you and to be obedient to who you're asking us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
We can continue to be in the posture of prayer, and I'll be reading a few scriptures and then praying around Ephesians 4. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, hearing with one another, in bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, equipped the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful words. We look to you this morning for your grace and strength to every one of us. We as a church have seen some challenging times in the last few months and many changes. We pray, Lord, you are an unchanging God. You have known all of this and started to work in each and every one of our hearts. We thank you for your protection this far and your guidance this far, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these words where we see a call for us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have called us. Lord, we continue to pray that every congregant in our body at CPC, every family, we pray that, Lord, we will be able to fulfill the call that you have placed on us with joyfulness and full diligence, that we'll be found faithful in your coming. Lord, we thank you for all the current officers who are serving at CPC, and also all the officers who served so far at CPC to build this up, to build your body here. Thank you, Lord. This is all the men whom you have raised, and we continue to pray that you would raise more men in the days to come to fulfill the purpose for which you have established CPC in this place. Not by our own wisdom, not by our own vision and direction, but by your own will and for your own purpose, Lord, we ask this. Lord, we also continue to pray and know that you have raised up many people to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Lord, these are the gifts that you have given to build up your kingdom. So we pray, Lord, in the upcoming days, you will raise up leaders to fill all or any of these roles to build up your church here. Lord, we thank you for equipping every one of us. We would pray you would we would be giving all our attention to make you known among the community around us. Many people don't know you in this place. We pray you would protect your body, that we may, as a church, as Tom prayed, will be light in this place, shining in the darkness, showing the truth, showing the one to be glorified, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, high and lifted up in this place. We also, Lord, continue to pray for the officers to be nominated, that that through each and every one of them who's going to be nominated and also to be elected, that we will all be able to grow in unity as church and as officers too, and also, Lord, to build one another up in maturity in Christ. This is more needed for us, Lord. And also, Lord, we pray that we would grow in the knowledge of the Son of God in this place, that all the men whom you will raise would be able to work together to make you known and know you, Jesus Christ. Lord, we seek you. None of this is possible by our own strength. And in your words, we see without you, we could do nothing. So we pray, knowing that our trust is in you, that the future of CPC is in your hands. We keep that in your hands, Lord. Lord, as Tom also prayed, we continue to pray the love for you, as we seen in the sermon from the last week, the call that you had for Peter is to know whether he loves you, and we continue to pray that we will respond to the love that we have for you, and the call that to the call that you have for us to go and shepherd the flock. We pray that, Lord, that same call will be there on men whom you're preparing to stand up for the office. And, Lord, to do things in love, we are not without hope, because our hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Without your Spirit work in our hearts, the love that is overflowing to be seen in everyone's life, we thank you. Because this is your work, and this is your church, and you are our Lord who leads us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. Thank you. Today is a day where we remember and give thanks for our mothers. It's not a holiday in the church calendar, but it's a day that we consider nevertheless. So mothers here this morning, we are thankful for you, your blessing. We appreciate you. And as you're spending time considering, thinking, giving thanks for your mother today, we all have mothers. We all have memories that arise, memories that we think about, stories. We may have times where we share stories with each other today, where we remember good things, challenging things. And that's a good thing, because remembering, reflecting upon the past is a way that roots us in reality, in the truth, in the Lord's kindness and provision, and it sets our course for moving forward. Biblically speaking, remembering is a really key part of the Christian life, of the walk of faith, of walking humbly before our God. I wanted to read a few verses out of the beginning of Psalm 78. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has done." Remembering God's glorious works, his deeds, right, his wonders, that's our calling. If you read through the rest of this psalm, it's actually quite sobering at times, because it speaks about the people of God's disobedience, and it is a chastening psalm. It calls them to trust in him and walk in obedience to him in light of seeing the past disobedience of God's people. Why do I bring all of this up? Well, I bring it up because this table is a table of remembrance. It's a table where we remember the one who the story of Psalm 78 and the entire Old Testament points to, Jesus Christ, the one who the story of the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in. We remember him, the one who came, he humbled himself, he became man, and he humbled himself to the point of death. His body was broken, tortured, his blood was shed. He died for us, to make us right with God, to bring us into the family of God. This is what we remember at this table. And not only this, this is where he strengthens us and reminds us of the beauty of the gospel, that we belong to God because Christ gave himself for us. And that is how we come into the family and the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's thank him as we come to the Lord's Supper. Oh, Father, we thank you today that we get this chance to remember things in our own lives, but also to look much further back, to remember your faithfulness from of old, from all eternity, to remember your glorious deeds, your grace and your steadfast love, your righteousness, your truth that have existed from before the foundation of the world, Lord, that you have shown, that you have poured out on your people. We thank you that we can come to this table and we can taste your goodness, your kindness, your grace to us, that you call us and bring us in through your grace, through giving your own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for you to use this table, use these elements through the power of your Holy Spirit to deepen our love for you, our delight in you, our trust in you, and our ability to be obedient to you as we come to this table. Deepen our joy in you, in being your people, in belonging to you now and forever. We thank you, loving Father. We thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.